Good evening. Welcome to Unity Church, where we are committed to welcoming all people, especially those who have been excluded due to race, gender identity, or sexual orientation. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you to live a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. If you are visiting for the first time, or if you have not yet taken advantage of getting onto our mailing list, we invite you to sign our visitor's book at the welcome table or out in the cloister by the Portland Avenue doors so that we can stay in touch. We also invite you to take one of the classes designed for newcomers and those considering membership, such as our Welcome to Unity class, which is being offered this coming Wednesday evening, or Finding Yourself at Unity, the day-long workshop that's being offered on November 17th. You can sign up for either or both of those at the welcome table in the parish hall. And starting this Sunday, after every service, including this one, there will be a building tour offered, a chance to wander through the halls of the building and learn something of the history of the church and get to know someone who's been around for a while. I think the tour this afternoon after the service is being offered by Jan Eller Isaacs, who has been around for a while. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, which is intended to serve as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the life of the church. Our Wellspring Wednesday programs continue this Wednesday. First of all, dinner at 6 o'clock, and we're trying an experiment. You don't have to sign up for dinner. You just show up for dinner, because so many people were showing up for dinner anyway and calling the staff for the 3 days between Sunday and Wednesday that it was driving us a little nuts. So we decided to see if it was possible to just cook and share and see. And we have gone ahead and listed the church at one of the local food shelves as well to invite some of the neighbors in who may be hungry on Wednesday nights. We have a number of wonderful offerings this coming Wednesday. Vivek Pandit, an amazing anti-slavery organizer and union organizer from India, will be here with us all week. And he's going to be offering all kinds of workshops, the Morgan Forum on Saturday and other opportunities. But we thought that on Wednesday night, we would give him the pleasure of getting to know some of you and getting to ask you about your religious lives and your involvement in human rights, a chance to talk with him, but more importantly, for him to talk with you. So we hope some of you will choose to do that. In addition to that, I'll be offering what the Buddhists call a Dharma talk, which will be an informal presentation about spirituality and spiritual practice, and an opportunity for you to ask me questions and for us to talk about your spiritual lives as well. There will also be a song circle on Wednesday night, a chance to just sing along with Don Brunquell and Michael Keyes, who will bring their guitars. And if you have a copy of the book Rise Up Singing, bring it with you. If not, we have lots of copies here at the church. So those are some of the offerings on Wednesday night. Dinner is at 6. There's an intergenerational worship service at 6:45. And then at 7:10, the classes and the lecture begin. Next Sunday, November 11th, is Veterans Day, and we'll mark that in part by a moment in the service set aside. But also from 12:30 to 2, you're invited to attend a presentation called Into and Out of the Quagmire, a Vietnam Veteran's Story, which is being offered by Michael Orange, a noted author and a member of the congregation, who has done some deep and transformative work around his own experience and worked with other Vietnam veterans in the process of healing. Following the service this afternoon, please join us for a soup dinner in the parish hall where you can connect with friends new and old and learn more about the church. Next Sunday, the service will be entitled New Partnerships for Freedom. We'll feature a dialogue sermon between Vivek Pandit and Jan Eller Isaacs. Services are, as usual, at 9, 11, and 4:30. Following the service, Mary and I would like to greet you in the parish hall. We're not going to do a big line thing after this service. We'll just be in there and say hello. Now, about the hymns. All of the hymns listed in your order of service are incorrect. These things happen. They are, in fact, next week's hymns, and if you want to read ahead and know what's going to happen, you may do that. But in the meantime, we would prefer that you actually sing the hymns that were intended for this service. And the opening hymn is number 121, We'll Build a Land, but we're not there yet. We will introduce the hymns. We will announce the hymns. Once again, it's great to be here together. Welcome to Unity Church.
My sister was called Nigger Lover on a downtown Minneapolis street late one night as she and a black male friend walked to her car. As the offenders circled the block, she and her friend hurried to reach the car before they came around again. "What does your husband do?" the man behind the counter asked me. "Attorney," I replied stiffly, afraid to tell him the whole truth about who I am and whom I love. My son stood by and watched. Are we prepared to make a difference? Come, let us worship together. Please join me in number 121. Standing and join me responsively with the reading in the order of service. Everything now we must assume is in our hands.
We have no right to assume otherwise.
If we, the relatively conscious ones, who must, like lovers, Insist on and create the consciousness of others.
Do not falter in our duty now. We may be able, handful that we are,
to end the racial, homophobic nightmare and achieve our country.
And change the history.
Each time we gather for worship, whether here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel with the children, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that forms the center of this sacred place. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for those who live with illnesses, seen or unseen. We stand with those in prison, those who live with addiction or with mental illness, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days with curiosity and courage. Our hearts are with Lou Barwise, who at the age of 99 is going in for cancer surgery this coming week. With 5-year-old Avery Gallagher, whose very serious brain cancer is responding well to stem cell treatments. And I must say, our hearts are as well with those who do that research and fight the fight for the right to do that research. We reach out to Nina and to Mason and Jack and Charlotte. Nina's husband, John, is in the hospital with a serious illness, but he is recovering. Jackie DeLong is home, having spent a week in the hospital. Sylvia Souchere, at age 96, is declining now and has been placed in the care of hospice. We hold Karen Barnes, Clarice Swisher's daughter, and her family over the death this past week of Karen's father. A service will be held later this week at Unity. And our hearts are with the 20 couples who spent the weekend in the heart-to-heart retreat, learning even more about what it means to move toward the divine by learning to love one other person well. And congratulations to Jen Mugnani and Elizabeth Westfall over their wedding yesterday. I now invite you to share the names of those you have brought here in your hearts. We stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world, and especially those in beleaguered Pakistan who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, thou whose love endows and animates our lives, be with us now as we would be with one another. Lend us thy courage as we would lend courage to each other. Help us, we pray, to strip away the masks of doubt and self-deceit, that we might live open, honest, and effective lives. Help us, we pray, beginning with ourselves, to open our doors and, more, our hearts to all the neighbors we have never known. Save us from self-doubt and fear. Lead us, we pray, to be instruments of a larger love. May this be our promise and our prayer. Amen.
Thank you.
beautiful, Jackie. Thank you. After 2 years of study and deep conversation, the Congregation of Unity Church at its annual meeting last May voted unanimously to become a welcoming congregation. It's not that the church had ever excluded people of the GLBTQ community, but that we thought it was time to have a serious conversation about how we could be a genuinely welcoming place. I don't know if any of the people who led that effort are here at this service. Raise your hand if you are. They were here at the two services this morning, and there was a great celebration. So imagine yourself applauding for them. And as part of the acknowledgement and the celebration of the of becoming a welcoming congregation, we invited a number of people to write brief statements about how the place feels now that the congregation chose to go through that process and to become a genuinely welcoming place. Where are you? There you are.
When my children were young, I sought out a church where I would feel a sense of integrity about the religious education that was being offered to them. I have always felt that at Unity. I have never felt judged here. I have always felt I could be exactly who I am here. What has changed since we voted to become an official welcoming congregation is that I can hear a conscious acknowledgement and recognition of the gifts that come directly from the fact that I am a lesbian. Rather than a feeling of tolerance, okay, we accept you, it is a feeling of celebration. Yes, we are hoping. We were hoping you would join us.
Being directly involved with the process to become an official welcoming congregation has been a gift. My commitment to Unity Church has certainly gained strength in the past 2.5 years. The process has deepened my own spiritual practices, and I feel more connected to community both within and beyond the church walls. I feel truly blessed to belong to a church that offers the opportunity to be part of such a transformative experience.
I'm thrilled that we are finally a welcoming congregation. It's a visible, tangible reminder that we are indeed living out our values in our very own building.
When I first came to Unity, I was told that we were already welcoming. And of course, they were welcome here. To me, it seemed that while queer people were in the congregation and on the staff, our life experiences were rarely explicitly recognized, and we were expected to fit into the straight mold. One of the reasons I'm still here at Unity is that the ministers told me we'd be starting the welcoming congregation process. I felt hopeful. During this 2-year process, I heard changes in the language used in the services and on church forms. I saw Unity's banner displayed for the first time at Pride and at the Rainbow Families Conference. I saw people turn out in force to rally against the anti-marriage amendment. I saw Unity's ads in LGBT publications, and I witnessed a wave of rainbows appearing on name tags. These rainbows are a powerful symbol for people walking in our doors. Since the vote, I've watched interweave form for people of all genders and all sexualities. I've seen Jan dance for joy at finally becoming a welcoming congregation. I've seen that the Tower Club and that the pastoral care team are interested in becoming more welcoming of LGBT people. And I feel affirmed each Sunday when I hear, "We welcome all people, especially those who have been excluded due to race, gender identity, or sexual orientation." This is for real. This is an ongoing journey, not a one-time event. We are coming out as a welcoming congregation, and we proclaim it on banners for all the world to see, finally.
With so many things going well at Unity, I'm delighted that we are adding to this positive momentum by becoming a welcoming congregation.
We're making Unity a place where everyone can feel welcome to be a member of the community and to bring their whole selves to the table, a place where we embrace the human experience and the mystery.
When I first heard tell of the welcoming congregation labeling and process, I thought to myself, what is the point? Why? We are welcoming. We are sexually, orientationally diverse. At least I think we are, of course. I have no idea what our numbers are for such diversity, but I think we are. I only know of a few people that I think are, probably, perhaps, of an orientation other than heterosexual. And as for gender differences, I have no idea. But then, none of that is my business, is it? Then I also thought, I don't want to wrap the church in pink or a rainbow, for that matter. I don't want us to stick out in a rude blatancy of sorts. So all that has been churning around inside of me as our church has gone through the process of becoming a welcoming congregation. I have gone to the little group workshops. I have met people in our church who have been openly sharing the fact of their sexual orientation. And some of how it is to come into and be in a church institution. At the same time, there has been enormous societal nastiness and irrational positions taken toward GLBT people. This, of course, is nothing new, but I think that my noticing of it had a different quality to it. I have come to realize that staying in our church closet and being quiet welcomers is actually hiding. The UUA has a process of earning the label welcoming. That process seems to be designed to foster congregation members being more open with each other about their life journeys with regard to sexual identity and orientation, and learning not to be afraid of the issues. Unity needed to come out, stand up tall, and speak loudly and clearly that we are a welcoming congregation. The point is that it is a way for the congregation to embrace publicly this aspect of themselves, and that anyone new to the church will henceforth not have to run around opening closet doors trying to find out whether or not they are welcome here at Unity.
I react to the news of becoming a welcoming congregation with a now all too familiar oscillation between utter and somewhat begrudging gratitude. My sense of utter and complete thanks arises out of the recognition that I now finally have a community of faith willing to depart on its own coming out journey publicly right beside me. I'm so grateful that the teenager I carry around inside of me who felt harassed and abandoned by faith and the divine can sit and feel safe and accompanied in Unity Sanctuary. My gratitude wanes to its more begrudging state when I begin to ask why I should be so thankful for something most people seem to take completely for granted.
As a lesbian, when I usually walk into a place of worship, I always walk in with my guard up. There are many places of worship that condemn homosexuality and thus condemn me. I have my guard up so I won't feel the deep pain of people and institutions that hate me for being who I am. I have never felt safe enough to let my guard down in a place of worship. That is, until I found Unity. It is very hard to grow spiritually in a community where you have your guard up. For the first time in my life, I have been able to let my guard down and feel the love of this community. I hope that by becoming a welcoming congregation, we can let others know that Unity is a place where you can let your guard down and be your whole self and be welcomed by this beloved community.
Thank you.
You can read in this week at Unity that the annual canvas is going very well. More than 70% of the money that we hope will be pledged for next year is already pledged. Some of you have not yet taken the opportunity to make your pledges for next year. We hope you'll do that as soon as possible, and particularly the people who are responsible for the canvas hope you'll do that as soon as possible, because it's almost Thanksgiving and they don't really want to spend their holidays chasing you around. But they will if they have to, so you might as well do it now. It's your generosity that allows us to give away the vast majority of the offering each Sunday, that allows us to become a generous partner both in St. Paul and all around the world with organizations that share our core values and make a real difference in their communities. The offering today will be given to Guadalupe Alternative Programs, a junior high and high school which also provides a variety of other services to people who, like me, and I would bet many of you, found mainstream high schools oppressive and excluding. The people who Guadalupe serve are often living in poverty or come from homes which are not fully supportive of their own educational experience. It's a wonderful organization that makes a real difference in many lives, and we hope you'll be as generous as you can. Will the ushers please come forward? To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, generation into generation, we dedicate our lives and this our offering. Good evening. Welcome to Unity Church, where we are committed to welcoming all people, especially those who have been excluded due to race, gender identity, or sexual orientation. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you to live a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. If you are visiting for the first time, or if you have not yet taken advantage of getting onto our mailing list, we invite you to sign our visitor's book at the welcome table or out in the cloister by the Portland Avenue doors so that we can stay in touch. We also invite you to take one of the classes designed for newcomers and those considering membership, such as our Welcome to Unity class, which is being offered this coming Wednesday evening, or Finding Yourself at Unity, the day-long workshop that's being offered on November 17th. You can sign up for either or both of those at the welcome table in the parish hall. And starting this Sunday, after every service, including this one, there will be a building tour offered, a chance to wander through the halls of the building and learn something of the history of the church and get to know someone who's been around for a while. I think the tour this afternoon after the service is being offered by Jan Eller Isaacs, who has been around for a while. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, which is intended to serve as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the life of the church. Our Wellspring Wednesday programs continue this Wednesday. First of all, dinner at 6 o'clock, and we're trying an experiment. You don't have to sign up for dinner. You just show up for dinner. Because so many people were showing up for dinner anyway and calling the staff for the 3 days between Sunday and Wednesday that it was driving us a little nuts. So we decided to see if it was possible to just cook and share and see. And we have gone ahead and listed the church at one of the local food shelves as well to invite some of the neighbors in who may be hungry on Wednesday nights. We have a number of wonderful offerings this coming Wednesday. Vivek Pandit, an amazing anti-slavery organizer and union organizer from India, will be here with us all week. And he's going to be offering all kinds of workshops, the Morgan Forum on Saturday and other opportunities. But we thought that on Wednesday night, we would give him the pleasure of getting to know some of you and getting to ask you about your religious lives and your involvement in human rights, a chance to talk with him, but more importantly, for him to talk with you. So we hope some of you will choose to do that. In addition to that, I'll be offering what the Buddhists call a Dharma talk, which will be an informal presentation about spirituality and spiritual practice and an opportunity for you to ask me questions and for us to talk about your spiritual lives as well. There will also be a song circle on Wednesday night, a chance to just sing along with Don Brunquell and Michael Keyes, who will bring their guitars. And if you have a copy of the book Rise Up Singing, bring it with you. If not, we have lots of copies here at the church. So those are some of the offerings on Wednesday night. Dinner is at 6. There's an intergenerational worship service at 6:45. And then at 7:10, the classes and the lecture begin. Next Sunday, November 11th, is Veterans Day, and we'll mark that in part by a moment in the service set aside. But also from 12:30 to 2, you're invited to attend a presentation called Into and Out of the Quagmire, a Vietnam Veteran Story, which is being offered by Michael Orange, a noted author and a member of the congregation, who has done some deep and transformative work around his own experience and worked with other Vietnam veterans in the process of healing. Following the service this afternoon, please join us for a soup dinner in the parish hall where you can connect with friends new and old and learn more about the church. Next Sunday, the service will be entitled New Partnerships for Freedom. It will feature a dialogue sermon between Vivek Pandit and Jan Eller Isaac. Services are, as usual, at 9, 11, and 4:30. Following the service, Mary and I would like to greet you in the parish hall. We're not going to do a big line thing after this service. We'll just be in there and say hello. Now, about the hymns. All of the hymns listed in your order of service are incorrect. These things happen. They are, in fact, next week's hymns, and if you want to read ahead and know what's going to happen, you may do that. But in the meantime, we would prefer that you actually sing the hymns that were intended for this service. And the opening hymn is number 121, We'll Build a Land, but we're not there yet. We will introduce the hymns. We will announce the hymns. Once again, it's great to be here together. Welcome to Unity Church.
My sister was called Nigger Lover on a downtown Minneapolis street late one night as she and a black male friend walked to her car. As the offenders circled the block, she and her friend hurried to reach the car before they came around again. "What does your husband do?" the man behind the counter asked me. "Attorney," I replied stiffly, afraid to tell him the whole truth about who I am and whom I love. My son stood by and watched. Are we prepared to make a difference? Come, let us worship together. Please join me in number 121. Standing and join me responsively with the reading in the order of service. Everything now we must assume is in our hands.
We have no right to assume otherwise.
If we, the relatively conscious ones, who must, like lovers, insist on and create the consciousness of others.
Do not falter in our duty now. We may be able, handful that we are,
to end the racial, homophobic nightmare and achieve our country.
And change the history.
Each time we gather for worship, whether here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel with the children, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that forms the center of this sacred place. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for those who live with illnesses, seen or unseen. We stand with those in prison, those who live with addiction or with mental illness, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days with curiosity and courage. Our hearts are with Lou Barwise, who at the age of 99 is going in for cancer surgery this coming week. With 5-year-old Avery Gallagher, whose very serious brain cancer is responding well to stem cell treatments. And I must say, our hearts are as well with those who do that research and fight the fight for the right to do that research. We reach out to Nina and to Mason and Jack and Charlotte. Nina's husband, John, is in the hospital with a serious illness, but he is recovering. Jackie DeLong is home, having spent a week in the hospital. Sylvia Souchere, at age 96, is declining now and has been placed in the care of hospice. We hold Karen Barnes, Clarice Swisher's daughter, and her family over the death this past week of Karen's father. A service will be held later this week at Unity. And our hearts are with the 20 couples who spent the weekend in the heart-to-heart retreat, learning even more about what it means to move toward the divine by learning to love one other person well. And congratulations to Jen Mugnani and Elizabeth Westfall over their wedding yesterday. I now invite you to share the names of those you have brought here in your hearts. We stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world, and especially those in beleaguered Pakistan who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, thou whose love endows and animates our lives, be with us now as we would be with one another. Lend us thy courage as we would lend courage to each other. Help us, we pray, to strip away the masks of doubt and self-deceit, that we might live open, honest, and effective lives. Help us, we pray, beginning with ourselves, to open our doors and more our hearts to all the neighbors we have never known. Save us from self-doubt and fear. Lead us, we pray, to be instruments of a larger love. May this be our promise and our prayer. Amen.
Thank you.
just beautiful, Jackie. Thank you. After 2 years of study and deep conversation, the congregation of Unity Church at its annual meeting last May voted unanimously to become a welcoming congregation. It's not that the church had ever excluded people of the GLBTQ community, but that we thought it was time to have a serious conversation about how we could be a genuinely welcoming place. I don't know if any of the people who led that effort are here at this service. Raise your hand if you are. They were here at the two services this morning, and there was a great celebration. So imagine yourself applauding for them. And as part of the acknowledgement and the celebration of the of becoming a welcoming congregation, we invited a number of people to write brief statements about how the place feels now that the congregation chose to go through that process and to become a genuinely welcoming place. Where are you? There you are.
When my children were young, I sought out a church where I would feel a sense of integrity about the religious education that was being offered to them. I have always felt that at Unity. I have never felt judged here. I have always felt I could be exactly who I am here. What has changed since we voted to become an official welcoming congregation is that I can hear a conscious acknowledgement and recognition of the gifts that come directly from the fact that I am a lesbian. Rather than a feeling of tolerance, okay, we accept you, it is a feeling of celebration. Yes, we are hoping, we were hoping you would join us.
Being directly involved with the process to become an official welcoming congregation has been a gift. My commitment to Unity Church has certainly gained strength in the past 2.5 years. The process has deepened my own spiritual practices, and I feel more connected to community both within and beyond the church walls. I feel truly blessed to belong to a church that offers the opportunity to be part of such a transformative experience.
I'm thrilled that we are finally a welcoming congregation. It's a visible, tangible reminder that we are indeed living out our values in our very own building.
When I first came to Unity, I was told that we were already welcoming, and of course they were welcome here. To me, it seemed that while queer people were in the congregation and on the staff, our life experiences were rarely explicitly recognized, and we were expected to fit into the straight mold. One of the reasons I'm still here at Unity is that the ministers told me we'd be starting the welcoming congregation process. I felt hopeful. During this 2-year process, I heard changes in the language used in the services and on church forms. I saw Unity's banner displayed for the first time at Pride and at the Rainbow Families Conference. I saw people turn out in force to rally against the anti-marriage amendment. I saw Unity's ads in LGBT publications, and I witnessed a wave of rainbows appearing on name tags. These rainbows are a powerful symbol for people walking in our doors. Since the vote, I've watched Interweave form for people of all genders and all sexualities. I've seen Jan dance for joy at finally becoming a welcoming congregation. I've seen that the Tower Club and that the pastoral care team are interested in becoming more welcoming of LGBT people. And I feel affirmed each Sunday when I hear, "We welcome all people, especially those who have been excluded due to race, gender identity, or sexual orientation." This is for real. This is an ongoing journey, not a one-time event. We are coming out as a welcoming congregation, and we proclaim it on banners for all the world to see, finally.
With so many things going well at Unity, I'm delighted that we are adding to this positive momentum by becoming a welcoming congregation.
We're making Unity a place where everyone can feel welcome to be a member of the community and to bring their whole selves to the table, a place where we embrace the human experience and the mystery.
When I first heard tell of the welcoming congregation labeling and process, I thought to myself, what is the point? Why? We are welcoming. We are sexually, orientationally diverse. At least I think we are, of course. I have no idea what our numbers are for such diversity, but I think we are. I only know of a few people that I think are, probably, perhaps, of an orientation other than heterosexual. And as for gender differences, I have no idea. But then, none of that is my business, is it? Then I also thought, I don't want to wrap the church in pink or a rainbow, for that matter. I don't want us to stick out in a rude blatancy of sorts. So all that has been churning around inside of me as our church has gone through the process of becoming a welcoming congregation. I have gone to the little group workshops. I have met people in our church who have been openly sharing the fact of their sexual orientation. And some of how it is to come into and be in a church institution. At the same time, there has been enormous societal nastiness and irrational positions taken toward GLBT people. This, of course, is nothing new, but I think that my noticing of it had a different quality to it. I have come to realize that staying in our church closet and being quiet welcomers is actually hiding. The UUA has a process of earning the label welcoming. That process seems to be designed to foster congregation members being more open with each other about their life journeys with regard to sexual identity and orientation, and learning not to be afraid of the issues. Unity needed to come out, stand up tall, and speak loudly and clearly that we are a welcoming congregation. The point is that it is a way for the congregation to embrace publicly this aspect of themselves, and that anyone new to the church will henceforth not have to run around opening closet doors trying to find out whether or not they are welcome here at Unity.
I react to the news of becoming a welcoming congregation with a now all too familiar oscillation between utter and somewhat begrudging gratitude. My sense of utter and complete thanks arises out of the recognition that I now finally have a community of faith willing to depart on its own coming out journey publicly right beside me. I'm so grateful that the teenager I carry around inside of me who felt harassed and abandoned by faith and the divine can sit and feel safe and accompanied in Unity Sanctuary. My gratitude wanes to its more begrudging state when I begin to ask why I should be so thankful for something most people seem to take completely for granted.
As a lesbian, I usually walk into a place of worship. I always walk in with my guard up. There are many places of worship that condemn homosexuality and thus condemn me. I have my guard up so I won't feel people and institutions that hate me for being who I am. I have never felt safe enough to let my guard down in a place of worship, that is, until I found Unity. It is very hard to grow spiritually in a community where you have your guard up. For the first time in my life, I have been able to let my guard down and feel the love of this community. I hope that by becoming a welcoming congregation, we can let others know that Unity is a place where you can let your guard down and be your whole self, and be welcomed by this beloved community. Thank you.
You can read in this week at Unity that the annual canvas is going very well. More than 70% of the money that we hope will be pledged for next year is already pledged. Some of you have not yet taken the opportunity to make your pledges for next year. We hope you'll do that as soon as possible, and particularly the people who are responsible for the canvas hope you'll do that as soon as possible, because it's almost Thanksgiving and they don't really want to spend their holidays chasing you around. But they will if they have to, so you might as well do it now. It's your generosity that allows us to give away the vast majority of the offering each Sunday, that allows us to become a generous partner both in St. Paul and all around the world with organizations that share our core values and make a real difference in their communities. The offering today will be given to Guadalupe Alternative Programs, a junior high and high school which also provides a variety of other services to people.